Friday edition of Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. We've had our next guest on a lot to talk about ASU football, and we've certainly talked ASU football recruiting with him over the years, but never in this realm, the negative realm that we'll go down today. Chris Cartman, the publisher of SunDevilSource.com for 24/7 Sports, joins us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Chris, how are you?
Doing well. Good to be with you guys.
This thing's developing rather quickly. Give our listeners, if you could, just a real quick thumbnail on how we got here.
Right. So there were documents that were provided to ASU compliance by an anonymous person that reportedly include photos and texts and emails that document impermissible visits that took place with recruits on campus at ASU over a 14-month period in which it was not allowed. And then there are additional allegations that some of these trips were paid for not by the recruits, which would also not be allowed. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the possibility of several dozen or more recruits taking these types of trips. And the potential for, you know, how widespread this is and how orchestrated it is having an impact directly on whatever possible level of the violation structure this would be considered to be, as the NCAA would view it in their investigation.
As somebody who is as dialed in as you are with as many sources as you have, with as much experience with this program as you do, what did you feel emotionally when all of this began to break? Surprised or not?
Surprised, yes. Mainly because I have spoken with many recruits over the last year, and none of them mentioned to me or my staff, even ones who were on campus at ASU on what are called self-guided visits, which were allowed during COVID. Nobody mentioned having met with Herm Edwards or other ASU coaches, anything along those lines. That would have been a very clear violation. So to me, if that was taking place, then any of these kids would have likely have been instructed or known that it was not allowed, because otherwise they would have shared it as part of their conversations and the interviews that we had about them. And Herm Edwards spoke really seriously about COVID and all of the challenges associated with it and the seriousness of it and following a lot of the medical guidelines and understanding of the restrictions that were made upon recruiting and upon teams throughout that. And it's not something that you would naturally sort of suspect that Herm Edwards would have any knowledge about or be a participant in anything along these lines as a result.
Chris Cartman, the publisher of SunDevilSource.com, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. This is obviously very early into an investigation, although there are stories coming out left and right on this particular subject. But a lot of the stories, Chris, point to maybe just too much power being bestowed upon Antonio Pierce in the whole recruiting process. And obviously it paid dividends with getting highly ranked recruits. But do you buy into that? Do you think Antonio Pierce was running pretty much unchecked?
I think when you're dealing with COVID, you don't have the same structure that existed prior in terms of compliance, oversight. Everybody's on campus. There's monitoring that's more easily done.
Sure.
So there's a possibility for people to do things that and get away with more in that sort of an environment. And there's no doubt that there were fractured sort of groups within ASU football where a lot of people who were just aggressive and wanted to do wanted to recruit at the highest level and wanted to be really competitive for top prospects across the country and trying to get those kids on their campus as much as possible, you know, before the dead period of COVID and after that period. And so I think there were people who, you know, they weren't comfortable in that environment or they weren't happy or they thought that, you know, they shouldn't have to work as hard or do a lot of the things. Maybe there was some entitlement that existed with some other people. And that created, a dichotomy, you know, where you had just, you know, people at odds with others. And I think that there's no doubt that there's some animosity among people who used to work for ASU Athletics in a way that could lead to, you know, this being a much worse situation than it otherwise would have, because you typically very rarely, if ever, have coaches willing to, you know, go to the compliance or the NCAA about things that they had seen or witnessed, and providing documents, try to have supporting evidence. That just doesn't really happen. So there's no doubt that the culture within ASU football and people having differences of opinion about that contributed to this situation.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Do you think the fact that this did happen inside of a pandemic, which seems to be, it kind of defies the whole public safety initiatives that were so important to the Pac-12, do you think that is going to put some, I don't know, motivation or speed behind the NCAA? Do you think that's going to be particularly egregious? And along with that, the people inside the program who seem to be, according to reports, willing to cooperate with the NCAA, you don't always get that either. What are those factors? How will they play into this?
They could potentially accelerate it. The NCAA, of course, is notoriously long in terms of assessing all these types of situations. And I don't anticipate this is going to be like a few months and there's a resolution. I think it's going to be a year or longer between now and whenever you get to an outcome. And it's because there's two-pronged part of this. There's the investigation phase, which will probably last some months. And then there's the determination and the results phase, which is going to also last several months. So, and also the scope of this is pretty significant. So there's going to be a lot of interviews and meetings with coaches and people, and looking into some of these allegations, trying to contact recruits and their family members and other people and try to get to the bottom of it. So I don't know how much propulsion that there will be. That could be largely determined by additional reporting that comes out. Like if this keeps advancing with more and more sort of black eye type incidents alleged, or worse allegations possibly coming out, that could expedite the process in a really bad way for ASU football staff. That might lead to pressure from the president upon Ray Anderson and other ASU officials. That's sort of hard to predict whether that will happen or not.
Yep. Chris Cartman, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Last one for you. John Wilner from the Mercury News was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday and spoke pretty freely, Chris, about what he described as widespread suspicion of ASU's sudden recruiting success. That was kind of news to me. I don't follow it as closely as you do. Were you aware of widespread suspicion on what ASU was doing from a recruiting standpoint?
Not really. I think there has been this sort of understanding or belief within reporters who cover recruiting really closely across the country that you have a lot of kids taking visits to a lot of schools, and it would seem unlikely that people would be doing that on their own, but then not maybe having some in-person dialogue with coaches. So that, you know, that exists in not just ASU, but also elsewhere. Doesn't mean that what ASU is alleged to have done, it wouldn't be wrong. Of course it would. As far as like the rankings and the way the recruiting success is, I'm not sure that Wilner really has studied how ASU has fared in that regard, because the last class that he signed was not ranked in the top five in the Pac-12. It was not in the top 40 nationally. It wasn't considered to be some really prominent haul that they had. Mm-hmm. The previous class was a very good class, but not outside, you know, the what has been, you know, sort of in the same ballpark for ASU over the last 15 to 20 years. They've had three or four classes that were top 20 or borderline that range caliber, and that class was also kind of in that ballpark. And I think most people, including myself, frankly, attributed that mostly to the types of coaches that they had, how aggressive that they were in recruiting and all of that.
Yeah. Chris, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for the time and the insight. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Cartman, publisher, sundevilsource.com, part of 24/7 Sports. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com.